It was he who advised the Aztecs to reinvent themselves, as other people did in history. These conquerors reinvented themselves. They put themselves under the protection of a hitherto obscure sun god, Huitzilopochtli. The vizier and his rulers created a vast tribute-gathering machine and backed it with ruthless military force. They created another form of centralized state, a tribute machine, where if you conquered people, say in the lowlands, you assessed them for tribute each year, and this was recorded and delivered. And if it wasn't delivered, they thumped you with an army. It was backed with ruthless military force. By 1500, just under 200 years after the founding of the capital, over 5 million people lived under Aztec rule, from northern Mexico to Guatemala, from the Pacific to the Gulf of Mexico. This was far from a monolithic empire. It was a mosaic of ever-shifting alliances controlled by a teeny group of rulers and high officials. Just as like most other pre-industrial civilizations, everything was run for the benefit of the elite, backed by a supremely efficient tribute and tax-gathering machine. Everything was inventoried. The threat of military force stood behind the machine. So did a pervasive religious ideology. Every conquered city, every kingdom was assessed tribute in products or raw materials. 38 cities did nothing but provide firewood for the capital. Everything emanated from or came to Tenochtitlan, a dazzling and highly organized city of more than 220,000 people. Large residential precincts and thousands of acres of swamp gardens surrounded the central precincts, the hub of the Aztec world. This, again, was a model of the cosmos. A great plaza dominated by the temples of the sun god Huitzilopochtli and the rain god Tlaloc formed the central precinct. From this, four causeways emanated, dividing the Aztec world into four quarters. Aztec market, the market at Tenochtitlan, is said to have been attended, according to the Spanish, by 60,000 people a day. It is said that the bell of the temple, or the gong of the temple, or the drum of the temple, actually, to be perfectly correct, could be heard 2 miles away. This was a place which revolved around the sun god, around the nourishment of the sun god to perpetuate life. And at the focus of all this was human sacrifice. The Aztecs believed that Huitzilopochtli, the sun god, was nourished by the blood of human hearts. And their warfare, much of it, was conducted for the purpose of gathering prisoners for human sacrifice. Their society, which was rigidly stratified, included a large warrior class, with different classes of warriors, the highest being the eagle warrior. And to die, be captured in battle, and sacrificed on a sacrificial stone, with your chest being opened with an obsidian-bladed knife, and your heart dashed on the idol of the sun god, was considered an honorable death. It was known as the flowery death, because when you died, the soul of the warrior went up to travel with the sun god in the heavens. Again, it's the verity, the cyclical nature of human life, the continuity of human life that was all important. Because, you see, the Aztecs believed that they lived in the world of the fifth sun, that they lived in a finite world that would end in earthquakes and other violent catastrophes. The world had been created on the pyramid of the sun at Tenochtitlan. It was to die.